Hi, everyone. Today, I have a special update. If you'll recall, on November 5th, we released an interview I did with Tammy Kim. She and her family are residents of Paradise, California. That episode aired 3 days before the campfire took off in Northern California near her home. Many of you have reached out to ask me, how's Tammy? How's her family? Did her house burn down? I, of course, had already sent her emails and voice messages and didn't hear anything back until a few days ago. Tammy did call me. She and her family are safe. I asked her if she would be willing to give all of you an update. So what follows is a rambunctious and a very enjoyable conversation with Tammy, her husband Scott, and their three daughters. Please listen along. And then at the end, I want you to feel like you could make a meaningful difference in their lives. You will discover that they need your help, need your support. You can go to the show notes where we have created a GoFundMe page just for them. GoFundMe.com/Tammy Kim Fund. That's right. Tammy Kim Fund. TammyKim Fund. Your donations, no matter how large or small, will help the Kim family rebuild the homeschool that they were just beginning to enjoy. I love this community. Thank you so much for caring about our own. Let's show the Kims that we really do care about them. So just a reminder, GoFundMe.com/Tammy Kim Fund. And now let's tune into my conversation with this rambunctious, lovely family. Welcome, Kim family, to Brave Rider. Everybody has been asking about you. Literally, we've gotten tons of emails, private messages, phone calls, worried about you because literally your episode of the podcast aired 3 days before the fires. And your mom announced that you lived in Paradise, California. So I don't know if you can feel it, but there is a huge volume of love and prayers that have been sent in your direction. So thanks for coming and sharing with us so that we can reach out and support and help you.
Thank you. And yes, we have absolutely felt those prayers and all the support that has been coming our direction and to the community of Paradise. It has absolutely been astounding.
Of course. My gosh. I mean, it's everyone. I'm looking right now. I'm on Skype with this gorgeous family, the Kim family. We have Tammy and Scott, who are the parents. And then can you just introduce your three lovely daughters?
So Julia is our 8-year-old, soon to be 9 in December. And Haley, say hi, Haley. Hi. She is our 11-year-old. And Adeline is our 13-year-old, almost 14 in December as well.
Fantastic. Thanks for being here, girls, and for everyone being here. So let's just start with your mom. Tammy, just can you give us a sense of what happened, what the experience was, and we'll let you share what the results of the fire were.
Okay, well, we woke up that morning and noticed that there was a big cloud up in the sky. And, you know, my first thought was, ooh, are we getting rain? But then I realized, a little brown for rain, right? So we just kind of thought, oh, it's probably just another fire that's happening out there somewhere, having no idea it was in our backyard, right? Wow. So interestingly, our 13-year-old eighth grader has expressed a desire to connect with the kids that are closer to her age, and we've absolutely honored that. And so we were prepared to take her to her second day of public school.
Oh my gosh.
Hard for me, but, you know, honoring that need, we hopped in the car, leaving the other two children at home. And yes, Dad's in Asia on business trip for 2 weeks. And I drove Adeline over to the school, and it was different out there, and got her to the school, dropped her off. She walked away for, you know, all of like 100 yards. And a woman pulled me over to the side of the road and said, school's been canceled. And I said, what? Oh my gosh, I just dropped my daughter off. And she said, what's her name? So she promptly hollered down Adeline, who got back in the car, and we headed back home. It was really concerning though, because at that moment, there were about 3 busloads of children that were arriving to start their school day.
Wow.
Yeah. So we were driving home and there was obviously some additional commotion that just was not normal. And I did start to have a real strong feeling I needed to hurry home. So upon getting to our street, that urgency just increased and I hightailed it into our neighborhood, flew into the yard and got into the house and grabbed the children, grabbed the cat without a box, and thought to grab the computer because we do have family portraits and those kinds of things on it. So got out of there and didn't look back, I should say. So wow. It was a parking lot for a good hour and a half trying to get just onto the main road to be able to head out of town.
What happened was I was supposed to be in China this week. Because I was in Asia for 2 weeks. I was in Korea and Singapore, and I got all this text at 2 a.m. in Singapore saying, "Is your family okay? The house, the town is on fire." And I'm like, "The town is on fire? What?" So I FaceTimed her, and they're out the door, and they're showing me the raging fires just consuming our town on FaceTime while they're trying to get out. And I was like, it wasn't even like processing my head, but I was grateful that they got out.
Right.
And then obviously I got the first flight out of Singapore back to California just to, you know, take care of everything, you know? Wow.
And so tell us, how's your house?
Who wants to tell Julie what the house looks like?
I think this one should do the honors.
Yeah, I think. Yeah.
Daddy, you want to tell?
It's in complete rubble. I would text you the picture of the house. We already have.
Well, you have picture. On the phone.
We have picture confirmation that the house has been destroyed. We have a friend that works for the local utility that he was able to go on premise because right now they're not letting anyone into Paradise yet. The fire is still raging, as you could tell.
Yes.
And I think it's 35% contained so far.
Wow.
Just to let you know, just based on my understanding and speaking with the first responders, Paradise is a town of 27,000 to 30,000 people. So it's a fairly big town, but it's a very country town.
Yeah.
Reason why my wife got out fairly early, she got out around 9 a.m. And as she said, it was a parking lot just to get out. And there's only two main veins leaving out of the city. So as you could tell, it was very difficult to get out. And there was a fire. Fires were engulfing all around the roads. So like my wife got out with fire going on the roads. So in that regard, and the fire was so fast and furious that one of the reasons why there were kids going to school was the evacuation alert didn't happen till later in the day because it was just so fast and furious and chaotic. I mean, no fault to the infrastructure, whatever. This is just crazy. The fire just went so fast that, you know, no one could get any rhyme or reason around it. So
no, well, I'm a Californian by birth, and that's the problem with fire. It's not like a hurricane where it's this slow moving, you can predict it and make projections. The winds can change the course of a fire in a moment, in a heartbeat. And if it really takes off, if it's a very dry condition, it just takes over. They said down in the Woolsey fire, it actually leapt over the 101. That's 8 lanes of traffic. You would think that wouldn't even be possible. So I can only imagine in a wooded area how quickly that fire really grabbed hold. So your house is down to cinders. It was incinerated. Is that what you're saying? It's not like you go back and pick through the rubble.
That is correct. And I'll text you the pictures of our house if you want to put it on the podcast.
Yeah.
And you had mentioned the wind conditions. That was exactly what we were up against. Very dry because we had not had any rain or haven't yet, but very, very windy. So we've got flames that are blowing. And then we had embers that were kind of falling out of the sky. It was like snowing. And so that was starting smaller fires throughout the whole community. And there were no firefighters to go and put those out because they were working on the big one.
Sure, absolutely. So tell me a little bit about your relationship to Paradise. How long had you lived in this town?
10 months.
Well, not even that, love. First of all, I was born and raised in Paradise. And then, of course, took off for college and we started our family elsewhere and then had a desire to get closer to grandma and grandpa, who are still in Paradise or were. Their home has also burned to the ground.
Wow.
So that said, we moved back in March to Paradise. And so we've literally been in Paradise for not even 8 months.
Wow. And so are these your parents or your grandparents?
My parents.
Your parents. Yeah. So was this the house you grew up in?
It is.
So you've lost two hugely significant homes in your life at the same time.
Interestingly, my grandmother, who is the mother of my mom, her house went down in smoke as well. And my sister happened to be living in that home. So yeah.
Wow. So is it literally just everyone you know is in your situation? Is that how it feels?
Pretty much. There are a few families in the town whose homes did not go down. So that is also, it presents a whole different scenario where they need to determine what they're going to do. And, you know, there's the option for all of us of trying to rebuild. Of course, we have to pay off mortgages and then what would be left for rebuilding. There's a lot of different things that we need to be deciding. So since speaking with you last, we have secured an apartment that we are going to temporarily live in for, it could be 6 months, it could be 2 years. So until we're able to determine what we're going to do and where we're going to go next. So
that makes sense. But you're really starting from scratch. I mean, you guys left with the clothes on your backs. Would any of you girls want to share what it feels like to lose everything? How have you dealt with it? Are you still in the adrenaline of escape or is it starting to settle in that, oh, wait, I wish I had X and now I don't have it?
It wasn't really sad because we didn't actually really like the house.
We were going to remodel it. So we were anticipating that. Thank goodness that never happened. Because.
Yes. What about personal possessions? Do you have anything that was important to you that you lost?
The piano. Well, there's mom's piano.
Oh, so. Wow.
Don't be shy. Talk.
I don't know. I'm trying to.
I lost my iPod.
These are big. Those are the big things. I remember when I was about 5 years old, we were about to be evacuated for a fire. I lived in Canoga Park, which is in the San Fernando Valley in Southern California. And my parents pulled the car out and pointed it towards the road and it was filled with whatever they thought was important to take with them. And I got up out of my bed, very worried at about 11 p.m. And I came to my mom and I said, can I bring my pillow? Like to me, that was like the one sacred possession I did not want to be without. And then the wind shifted and it went the other way. So we didn't have to evacuate, but my goodness, it's a lot to lose.
So Haley, you lost your iPad. You missed the piano.
Yeah.
And we're missing some new friends that we started to make.
I mean, okay. If the computer burned in the fire, I would probably be a loss because Fortnite would be gone.
Well, it's
edit that.
it's interesting because we actually had a conversation, a month ago, where if there was some major disaster, what's the first thing we'd take? And I told my wife, the first thing we need to take is the computer because that's where all our photos and all that memory, memories of our families there. And she did exactly what she needed to do is take the computer.
Yeah. So Scott, tell us, how quickly did you hop on a plane to come home? I mean, what happened over in Singapore?
First of all, I work for a great company. I'm not plugging them. Their name is Gartner. They're based out of Stamford, Connecticut. It's a technology advisory firm. The first thing I told them was, hey, originally it was a 2-week Asia trip. And I said, hey, I'm still going to honor, still haven't processed it. And maybe this is dumb for me to think, but I told my boss, hey, I'll be happy to finish out the work here because, they flew me out there. It's thousands of dollars for the company to be out there. And my boss was so great. He just said, no, you need to go back to your family. Just jump on the plane. So literally, again, the company did such a great job of 6 hours later, they got me a flight It was a little bit Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. I had to go from Singapore to Hong Kong to San Francisco to Sacramento and back, but they got me back. And I think I got back, what, midnight?
Friday.
My days were so screwed up that I got back. I immediately tried to get back as soon as I could. And I'm just grateful that my family's safe. I didn't
totally
care. I didn't care about the house, about the stuff, whatever. I'm just grateful that my family was safe, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, that was our primary concern too. Too many people who got trapped in the fire, and I was immediately relieved to think that you guys were all together. So that is fantastic. What we want to do for you is raise some money. So we're going to invite our audience to go to a GoFundMe page. It will be on the show notes, and hopefully we can help you replace whatever, maybe the piano. I don't know what what they will contribute, but obviously a homeschooling family starting from scratch, there are a lot of needs, and we are so grateful that you would take the time to share with us about your story. I know it's a scary one, and I thank you for opening your story to us. Is there anything else you would like us to know about homeschooling in paradise or other families or anything else that you'd like us to know?
You know, in talking with you, Julie, I did reach out to our homeschool charter and talked with our support teacher, and she was very grateful and said that she will definitely bring up the things that you and I discussed. But she said at this point, truly everyone is just in major crisis mode and
yes,
not even thinking about homeschool. Though, you know, we've been able to kind of, you know, move forward and try and establish some kind of normalcy. We're really excited that we've established an apartment to rent. And so that means that something's ahead and that we're getting established. I think that we'll probably need to transfer our charter to the area where we're now living, because it's a good hour and 40 minutes to where our hometown is. So yeah, it's a major transition. So we just, you know, we move forward and just count the blessings that we have. You know, the hotel that we were sent to by our insurance, they opened up to the community. There were a lot of people that were wanting to bring donations, clothes, toiletries, those kinds of things. And so the hotel that we're staying at said, go ahead, bring them here. What they didn't realize was the overwhelming response that would happen. And the lobby is completely, or was completely inundated with just tons of clothes and everything you can imagine, food. So we kind of picked through it and thought, oh, we don't really need this, you know, but there's a lot of people in Chico that could really use this. So Scott actually called our religious pastor, our bishop, and said, hey, you have any ideas on what we could do to get this stuff up there? Well, long story short, it turned into lots of people loading up trucks. We had two U-Hauls to get all that stuff up to Chico. And so we also benefited because we got to kind of go through and get some of the clothing. And I mean, everything that we're wearing right now is through donations. See, look, I'm really stylish. Huh?
It's from Target.
This is from Target. Oh, this one Target. Okay.
These are my
favorite.
Okay.
So donations. Very nice. So cute. So cute.
But yeah, you'll see that I texted the pictures of like the evacuation center in Chico. That
awesome.
U-Haul. I mean, tremendous service by people. It shows the great humanity of people mm-hmm. during these times. And likewise with the Brave Right family, we're so gracious. I mean, we're humbled for you guys to do something for us. We really appreciate it.
Oh, you are so welcome. People want to way to share in the suffering and to make a difference. And so you are the face of that for us, and we really value you. So thank you very much. And good luck in the rebuild. Keep us in your sort of news reel. I don't necessarily need to be your first person you contact. You've got a lot of people in your life. But as you make progress, let us know and we'll give an update. Okay. Losing an entire town is so much more dramatic than even just losing your home. And I know there's a readjustment ahead. So any way we can help you, we want to be a part of that.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. What do you girls say to Julie?
Thank you.
You're
giving us books to read.
Books to read.
Well, as soon as you have an address, let me know, okay? And very happy to have met each of your girls, too. And you, Scott, thank you for sharing your family with us.
Thanks, Julie.
Thank you very much. Have a great day.
Bye.